Good morning, everybody. Woo. It's a lovely sea of beautiful faces. So, nice. So this topic was actually given to me by Kate. And then she desperately needed a title for the topic. And I thought of this one as a joke. And here it is. So my name is Jade. And just for clarity, I'm a specialist physician and I subspecialize in infectious diseases. And I really, really love practicing medicine. I'm not a gynecologist, but I have actually struggled a lot with PMS since I was young. And slowly over the years, I've learned to cope with it. And that's mainly because a lot needs to get done. And you can't really say PMS is a problem. And I've also learned to deeply and completely depend on God. And so when Kate spoke to me about this topic, more than just the medical side, it just resonated as an individual. So what does this topic mean? And in my Bible reading at the moment, I've just almost at the end of Job. And if there's a painful book to read, it is Job. And I think the most painful thing about Job is we know the background, you know? We've got the story of what happens in the heavenlies, and Job doesn't. And then we just see him suffer in every way possible. And then we see him suffer because his friends are really not great. There's condemnation, there's self-righteousness, there's a whole lot of horrible stuff. And all of it is a direct implication of what happened in heaven. And so we know that what happens here on earth is very connected to what happens in heaven. And so while we'd like to blame everything on hormones and say, oh, this is how it is, whatever happens on earth, there's something happening in the heavenlies as well. So the aim of this talk is to understand our physiology and how God designed us, and then to shed light on what to expect in different stages of womanhood. I'm also going to speak about some non-pharmacological tools that can help us. I'm not a gynae, so I'm not going to speak about all the medical stuff, but I do know some great Christian gynaes who can help you. And then I'm also going to speak about some spiritual weapons that can help us and that have helped me. So before we do all that, I'd like to talk about our identity, because I feel if we don't start with that, then we're on shaky ground. If we start with our identity, then we know we're rooted, and whatever happens on the surface, we still stuck in Christ, and that's the most important thing. So you are welcome to read on the screen, or you can close your eyes and let this wash over you and just listen to what God says you are in him. For those of you who may not have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is what you can have. And we'd love to speak with you, and we'd love to introduce this life to you. So Ephesians 1:3-5, all praise to God, the Father of your Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because you are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved you and chose you in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt you into his own family by bringing you to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him pleasure. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, for you are God's masterpiece. He created you anew in Christ Jesus so you can do the good things that he planned for you long ago. And Psalm 139:13-14, he made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. And if you don't know it, I'm going to show you some pictures that's going to show you how complex you really are. So, just if we need to summarize that, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. This is a direct gift from the heavenly realms. You are united with Christ, so you are never alone. You are loved before the earth even began. You are chosen to be holy, unique, separated. You are without fault in his eyes. You are adopted into his own family, and not because he had to do it, but it's a decision that he made in advance. He reaches out to you and brings you in through his son. He wanted to do it. He wasn't coerced and he wasn't forced. And it gave him pleasure. It gives him pleasure. You are a masterpiece. You are the Sistine Chapel, the statue of David. You are one of a kind. You are designed, you are woven, you are created. You're a custom piece with a custom purpose that he knows and planned for you to do. So, now we're going to talk about physiology. Now that we're rooted in that. So I imagine there are about five groups of ladies who are probably here. We may have some young girls who probably or may not have started their period yet. I'm not sure if they are. Then there's this big group called the childbearing age group. And so the issues here are things like PMS, premenstrual syndrome, and then there's another one called premenstrual dysphoric disorder. So that's something a bit more serious than PMS. And then we've got the perimenopausal women. So your periods kind of haven't stopped yet, but they're getting wonky and you're feeling weird. Then there's menopause. So menopause is a time. It's 1 year after your periods stop. It's a time. And so periods are a thing of the past. And then lastly, I've just put this group in, is because there are people who've had a hysterectomy. So you're still trying to figure it out because you're not, you don't have the period to kind of help you out anymore. But generally, if you're above 50, you're probably sitting in the perimenopausal group. Okay. So the way all of this is governed is we call it the endocrine system. So an endocrine organ is an organ, it's usually a gland of some sort, and it secretes a chemical. We call it chemical hormone. And that hormone travels through the blood and goes and acts elsewhere. Right. So the first picture. Okay, so this is the picture. I want you to focus on the picture of the woman. The shadow of the woman. The other side is also a miracle, but we're talking about the woman part. So, as you can see, this whole system is not just about our periods. You can see the brain is involved. Then there's another area called the pituitary. And then, obviously, there's the reproductive organs. So, the hypothalamus secretes a hormone called gonadotropin-releasing hormone. And it usually pulses that. And then it stimulates the pituitary. And the pituitary is right here, if you like, right in the middle. You can get in through your nose. And then that pituitary secretes two hormones, follicle-stimulating hormone, it's right there, and luteinizing hormone. And they act on the ovaries. And so the ovaries are responsible for making estrogen, progesterone, and it also has the eggs. So that's the job of the ovaries, the pituitary, and the brain. So you can see you need that whole cycle to be functional in order for everything to be okay. And God has designed this so intricately that basically we can carry a child. But the amazing thing is when we look at the cycle or the way we feel during the cycle, is we're actually created to create. So at the time when you're meant to create, you're actually your most creative. And so, but we're, it's true. So yes, we've gone through the organs. Okay, so the next picture, this is just showing you the phases of the menstrual cycle. So everything sort of revolves around ovulation when the egg is released. Everything before that is pre-ovulation and then post-ovulation. The next picture will explain those other cycles a bit better. So if you look at the next picture, the ovarian cycle is when you've got this follicle that's developing, and the uterine cycle is the same cycle, but it's what's happening in the uterus. So just to explain how the period works, for those of us who may have forgotten. So the first day of menses is identified as cycle day one. Your estrogen is at the lowest point, so you're feeling pretty down. And so because, if you remember our feedback mechanism, because the estrogen is low, stimulates the brain and says, hey, we need more estrogen. So the brain starts working, pituitary starts working, and we get FSH being produced. This follicular stimulating hormone, it does what it says, it starts stimulating follicles in the ovary. So you get a whole lot of follicles growing, and those start making estrogen. And one special follicle decides to be dominant. It shoots out a lot of estrogen, and then it causes a surge in LH, which is also from the pituitary. Surge in LH happens, and pop, the follicle opens, and the egg pops out, enters, and now is waiting to be fertilized. If there is no fertilization, obviously, there is no pregnancy. But what happens with the remaining follicle is it becomes this corpus luteum, which starts producing these hormones that make the uterus nice and comfortable for the little zygote to implant. And then when it realizes, whoops, there's no zygote, that's when we have our period. Everything withdraws, goes down, and we have our period. Now, the problem with this, it's all very fascinating and interesting and wonderful, but all these hormones actually have an effect on us and our moods and how we feel and the energy levels we have and what, like how many people we want to hang out with. It also makes our spouse tolerable or intolerable. So it's a lot of things that actually happen because these hormones change and fluctuate. So with these complex hormones that interplay, it's very easy to have four seasons in 1 month. So I made a little table. I looked, oh, lovely. Okay, perfect. I forgot about this picture. So if you look at this picture, it actually tells you what these hormones make you feel like in the different cycles. So obviously, when you have your period, you feel really horrible. Cramps, you get a whole lot of symptoms, you feel super sad, you might just start crying, you know, things are really not great, mood swings, you feel really irritable. Then you get to the follicular phase and suddenly you're ready to run your 10K. Go to the gym class that you neglected while you were feeling bleak. Suddenly your verbal skills improve. You feel sociable and energetic. And you also feel like your face is more symmetrical. Can you believe that? I actually read that. Okay, and that is short-lived. Then you get into the luteal phase and you're down in the dumps again. So what I'm saying is there are a lot of things that happen and sometimes we try to push. And unfortunately, that's the way life is. You can't stop because you're in the luteal phase. You just have to go on. And that's why we actually need the Lord so much. So the next picture, I actually just tried to collate a whole lot of stuff to just see. There's a thing called cycle syncing, where we actually work with our body so that we're not pushing ourselves when we don't need to push ourselves. There are times when we have to push ourselves. We can't stop the world, and the Lord helps us for that. But if it is possible, it's great to follow this to just be at peace with your body. And so... Right, it's a bit cut short, but let's see. I tried to choose the B's that were appropriate for the phase. So in the menstrual period, you're quite low energy. And do you know how much blood you're meant to lose during a period? So did I hear two cups? Two cups. Anyone got a counter offer? Where's my gynae friend? So I read that it's 30 mils, which shocked me because I definitely do not lose 30 mils. But it also, I understand why I'm anemic. Anything above 80 mils is abnormal. So, you know, the thing is, I see a lot of patients who come in with iron deficiency. So they come in and they've got some other symptoms. We find iron deficiency. And then I ask them, oh, so how are your periods? No, they're fine. So, okay, do you pass clots? Yeah. How many pairs do you use? About 5 in the day. I'm like, and this, like, I think it's a problem because we don't actually speak to each other about our periods. So we think because it's been happening to us for so long that that's how it's supposed to be. Anyway, the bottom line is, please eat your chicken livers and your eggs and your meat and your comforting warm foods. And if you need to take an iron supplement, take an iron supplement, because, you know, I don't know, that's like, if that's the truth, then that's like, I'm sure all of us are iron deficient. Anyway, and then during that time, if you don't want to go out and hang out with people, it's okay. Like, you can just, unless you have to, but be in solitude, you know, rest and reflection, things like that. Then when you start increasing energy levels, this is the spring, they call it, then start, you know, your high-intensity workouts, your interval trainings, your runs. If you want to start a big project, that's the time to do it. If you want to fast, that's your time to fast. Don't fast when you're having your period and then get a big hormonal headache. And you can get creative. So that's the follicular. That's a great time. Then ovulation, that's your highest energy level. That's when you go on your outreach, if only we could plan like that. Fasting, prayer, socializing, meeting people, finalize your projects, collaborate, meet new people, and then that's also just dietary stuff. Okay, and then the last is luteal phase. You might notice at certain stages you get quite hungry, and the studies actually show that your calorie requirements increase during that period. So feel free to eat. I mean, they say don't have processed foods and don't have things, because those like salty things are just going to cause you to retain fluid and get bloated. But try and, if you eat healthy stuff, you generally, the desire for junk goes away. So try and do things like that, and you can eat dark chocolate. And then you don't have to quit working out, just try and do moderate workouts. And then focus on simple tasks, complete your to-do list, hang out with close friends. But don't, like, hang out in places where you know you're going to be volatile, you know? So, and then just bring your feelings to God. I mean, you can weep before the Lord. It is okay to just, if you're feeling sad, go to your closet, open your Bible, and just cry. And I spent my whole 20s writing exams. And I wasn't a dater. I didn't like date people. So I was single for the whole of my 20s. And I probably didn't care for the first 5 years of the, like, 20 to 25. But after 25, I was like, the major exams were, like, you know, coming to a close. And I remember, like, there'd be a particular time in the month where I'd just be so sad. And I would just cry. And I just, like, I lived alone. And did I live with my sister? Anyway, I was alone. And I would just cry. And I must say, that time of just being with God at that time was just so beautiful, because even now, when God has given me the desires of my heart, whenever I'm feeling down, or, you know, we still get, you know, nobody loves me, the world is a horrible place, you know, I can feel God's love, because I've seen Him. I've seen Him love me through so much before. And so, how do we cycle sync? Right now, we've got period apps. Does everyone have an app on their phone that tells you about your period? That's great. At least you know what's coming. And the reason I started using a period app, it actually only started using it when I got married. I didn't use one. I used to kind of count on the calendar before that. And the reason I started using it was, number one, contraception made me feel really sick. So we used it as, like, contraception. And the other reason is, my husband and I, for some mysterious reason, would have a massive fight once a month. And it would escalate to this three-day war sometimes. And I mean, like, his usual rational wife would suddenly just, like, pop, you know? So actually, I don't have the app. My husband has the app on his phone. Okay. For those of you who know him, you can understand that he would have that. Okay, so that is the people who are still undergoing periods. So the next section is perimenopause, and there's a little video. I don't know if we managed to succeed. Oh, good. So I'm going to speak about perimenopause and menopause together, because menopause is like a specific time, whereas Perimenopause is a period that must be endured. So the next picture, it's nothing fancy, but it's basically showing you that, you know, as we age, we actually drop our eggs. And the eggs, remember, the follicles are the things that make the estrogen. So you can imagine if the eggs are dropping, then we get less estrogen. I wouldn't be too afraid with this. I mean, I had my first baby at 34, so... And Sarah had a baby at 90. So, you know, all you need is one egg. You just need one. So, be of good cheer. But this is basically to show you why it's happening, right? So the next picture is very busy. Wow. So basically, estrogen is great. We benefit a lot from estrogen. It protects us from things that men don't have protection over, so coronary artery disease. It helps our brain, it helps our bones. Almost all the organs get benefit from estrogen. And it was something that wasn't really studied well. We actually don't study it very well in medical school because, I mean, only recently researchers have become women. So if you don't feel something, it's hard to research it. And so now that there are a lot of women who are gynecologists, they're actually looking into it quite a bit. So I think over the last maybe 30, 40 years, there's so much of information that's coming out because of studies that are being done. So I'm not here to tell you everything about it, but we always think of the hot flashes as the symptom of menopause. But there are actually so many others, and some of the cognitive issues are the bigger, more worrisome ones. So things like brain fog, anxiety, depression, and sometimes you can present to the doctor and you end up getting an antidepressant for what is actually menopausal symptoms. And then there are genital urinary symptoms, so recurrent urinary tract infections, then sexual dysfunction, loss of libido, pain, hot flashes, osteoporosis, and like I mentioned, coronary artery disease, so things that we usually don't have to worry about when we've got estrogen on board. So what can we do? So there are some non-pharmacological things that we can do. So because it's our brain that gets affected, you can eat a lot of stuff that's good for your brains. So these fish oils, good fats, a lot of protein, because we know we start losing muscle. So that's good. Keep your protein intake up. And then the other thing you want to do is walking. You're going to hear a little bit about that later, but walking is really, really, really good for you. Get as many steps as you can for the day. Strength training is really, really important because it builds muscle. And we need to build muscle. Get yourself a strength trainer. anything actually that's weight-bearing. Anything, jumping, skipping, anything, because it makes the bones stronger, and those are things that we worry about. And then there are only really two supplements that have been studied quite a bit. The one is creatine, that tends to build muscle, just a low dose of 5 grams a day, it's really good. You're not trying to be a muscle builder, you're just trying to prevent muscle breakdown. So that with your protein intake will help a lot. And then the other one that's been studied is magnesium glycinate. It helps with insomnia, which often happens in perimenopause. And it actually can help with period pains as well. So that's one supplement. I'm not a big advocate of supplements, but those are the two that have been studied. And I like the evidence. Okay, so being a woman is not easy. It's full of ups and downs. I often ask my husband what it feels like to wake up feeling the same every day. Because I still have to do the same thing I do every day, but like I wake up, you know, feeling different every day. And unfortunately, a young girl becomes a woman when she has a period. And then it's a cross that she must bear for the next, 30 to 40 years. And then just as that ends, she's got to start perimenopause. And yet God has designed it this way. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 to 10 says, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed but not driven to despair. We are hunted down but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Christ, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. 16 to 18, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they will produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we see now, rather we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So we live in this persistent state of weakness. We like these fragile clay pots. And this great thing of worth, the gospel, the message of God's glory and grace, revealed in Jesus, is placed in us. And on this earth where it feels like it's dull, mundane, annoying, pain in the neck, we are meant to be that light, shining. We're supposed to, those cracks that we have, supposed to show that amazing, amazing story. And there's a verse in Ephesians. I'm not a King James girl, but this is just too good. Ephesians 4, verse 26. Be angry and sin not. I love it. And then I thought you can say, be hurt, be lonely, be sad, and sin not. Be irritable and sin not. And there's this, I'm part of an organization called Christian Medical Fellowship, and there's this, this concept that we have called the wounded healer, how we all walk around wounded. We've all got our breaks, we've all got our hurts, and yet God has put this in us, and we go forth and offer healing to people. And that's what we are. We've got these pains, we've got these lonely, we've got these feelings, these hormones that do weird things, and yet God has still entrusted the gospel to us to share with others. So how important is it that we do that? I had a story, but I'm going to, we'll watch time, so I'm not going to tell the story, but basically the story about how things can escalate from zero to 120 really rapidly, and how we must listen to the Holy Spirit. So essentially, it's the same thing, how you have an argument with somebody or a friend or you say something nasty because you're feeling bad. And the Holy Spirit is there. Even though you're feeling horrible, the Holy Spirit is still saying, don't do that. Or if you've done it, go and apologize. And when we do that, the heavens win. Because remember, the war is going on. The war doesn't stop because we're in our luteal phase. The war doesn't stop because we are in perimenopause. The war goes on. And until the Lord returns, there's a war for our soul. The devil will use our weakness, our weak spots, our times of weakness to turn us away from the plans and purposes. Do you remember we read that God had planned for us to do in advance? John 10:10, the thief comes to rob, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and have it abundantly. Not just in the follicular phase or when you're ovulating. When you're in menopause, the abundant life doesn't stop. So what can we do? The first thing is to identify when you are weak and what helps. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. Prior, and I Googled this to see exactly, you know, what are they saying about it. Prior knowledge of possible danger or problems gives one tactical advantage. So if we know what's happening in our body, we know. Don't go talk to the person who you find a little bit irritating when you're in your, you know, just like protect yourself and protect the person. And then there's a beautiful piece of scripture in 1 Kings 19. It's about Elijah. And I love the story because it's like so, it's so us. He had just gone and you know, the fire came down from heaven. And he had like shown the prophets of Baal who God really was. And then he ran and like goes and hides. And he says to the Lord, you know, Lord, please take me away kind of thing. And God lets him rest. He wakes him up. He feeds him. He gives him water. Lets him go back to sleep. Takes him on a walk. And then tells him, hey, you're not the only one. And sometimes you just need to eat. and drink. Take some panado. You know what I mean? Like, do the simple things that we don't think to do. Keep yourself fed and watered, like we do our plants. Okay. And then there's another thing that I have called the down in the dumps prayer. It's a prayer for when I'm down in the dumps. And I can't think of a prayer. So my normal reaction would be to complain. So what I do is, it's written down, but now I know it off by heart. But it's a prayer that I write down, and I can, when I'm down in the dumps, I just say it. And it's usually full of thank yous. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And when I'm done with it, I'm no longer down in the dumps. There's a thing that my husband's been reading about called neuroplasticity. And the brain is an interesting organ. Its neurons jump from one thing to another. And so say a thought comes into your head, or someone says to you, oh, that's an ugly top, or, oh, where'd you get that? Oh, whatever it is, I don't know who talks like that, but anyway. So your brain will go along the path of least resistance, the path you always go down. So if you're always saying negative things to yourself, being negative, it's going to go down the negative path. So we need to train our brain to be positive. So when somebody says something negative to you, it just goes and becomes positive. And that's how our brains actually function. It's like a science, neuroplasticity. Okay, and then spending time in the Word of God, and that Kalipa has spoken about beautifully. And then the last thing which I love, and everyone in my Connect group will roll their eyes at, is practicing the presence of God. I read a book called The Practice of the Presence of God when I was in my 20s, and it changed my life. And it's very simple. It's basically walking with God through your entire day. And it is what it is, what it says. It's a practice. So sometimes you go off track, but you come back. And you can spend your entire day walking with God and talking with God. When I'm sitting with a patient, I'm asking God. When I'm walking down the stairs at work, I'm asking God about the person I just saw. When I'm teaching Sunday school, I'm asking God, what must I do? When I'm talking to somebody. And it doesn't happen all the time, but I'm practicing. And it's really something that changes my life. So, those are the things that we can cling to and that will help us get through these weird and wonderful changes that happen in our lives. And I'd like to close with this scripture, 2 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad and boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and the insults, hardships, persecutions, troubles, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong."